Session number 6175, Reel 4.
What were the premises of the school in Ashford like compared with what you were used to at home?
I have the impression that it was much more light and airy than the school in Camberwell. The school in Camberwell was rather squashed between other buildings, and although we had our own swimming pool, which was built for the centenary of the school, we had a little, what they called a sixth form garden, as distinct from the playground. Other than that, there were buildings all round us. Whereas in Ashford, the school was built with playing fields around it, and so the impression of much more spacious, and the classrooms were lighter, there were more windows. It was probably a much more modern building.
Were you able to use their sports facilities?
We could have done, yes, we could have done when we were out of school, in the afternoons if we were at school in the mornings, but we seldom did because we were outside and we got on the bus and went home mostly.
You didn't have sort of organised matches between the London girls and
No, we didn't.
How about materials? Can you remember any sort of particular problems there? Did you always have enough reading books and writing materials?
Yes, I think, well, I was in the last year, remember, and so the school made sure that we had all the books that we needed. Writing materials, I would say, they weren't short at that time. I should imagine later on in the war when the children really were short, but during that first year the shortages didn't show up very much. I think we were told not to waste paper, we were supposed to write to the end of the page and that sort of thing, but certainly wasn't very strict.
How important do you think it was having your own teachers with you?
Oh, I think quite important. I think when you've had a teacher probably all the way through the school for a certain subject, you wouldn't want to chop and change. That's what we did at school. We had, in the main, if you had a French teacher in your first year, she carried straight on to the end, to the last year with you, that sort of thing.
Do you think they made also a very important link with your home, the teachers?
No, I don't think I would say that, really. It was two distinct things. I mean, that was school and home, and the teachers you liked, and teachers you didn't, and you just went on. I don't think they linked very much. They didn't discuss the war with us, I remember, at all, and situation or anything like that.
Not even your billets or in sort of evacuation problems?
No, you were expected to go to the school secretary if you had any great problems. But other than that, they didn't visit the billets, and I think they rather took the view that if you didn't complain, you were happy.
How about your relations with the local children, particularly the girls from the school where you were sort of being taught?
We had very little contact at all. They were coming as we were going, and I don't think they were very pleased to have a London school in their premises, and the fact that they were losing half their school day. They didn't seem to be very pleased that they were doing half a day, and like we were quite pleased that we didn't have a full day of schooling, but they didn't like the disruption of their school and rather resented us, I think.
How was this sort of resentment manifested?
Well, we were never asked to join in any of their activities, really. They must have had social events, I'm sure, but we certainly didn't join in any of them. And we didn't really mix at all.
Would you say there was any hostility at all, any conflict between the local children and the evacuees? Did it ever get to that stage?
I wouldn't say that. No, it was never to that stage. You just didn't mix with them. That really was the case.
It sounds as if you retained your separate identity.
Certainly, we did, yes.
Yes. Were you known as sort of evacuees? What did that word come to mean to you?
We weren't known as evacuees, I don't think, in a way. At school, if we heard any mention of us, we were always the Datchula. I don't know why, but it was a name that stuck, you know. And then I think they were a bit amazed that we weren't like an Ashford High School, a name of a place. They couldn't really relate the name of our school to where we'd come from. I think we were sort of rather weird to, in their eyes.
How do you think the local people regarded you generally?
The just tolerated us, I would say, really. I don't think they were thrilled to have any evacuees there, but they tolerated us. Nobody was really unkind to us. Nobody, you know, shun us. I think probably the shopkeepers were quite pleased because they had quite a lot of custom one way and another, especially Woolworths and places like that.
But they didn't go out of their way to welcome you?
No, I wouldn't say so, no.
Was there no integration at all with the local people on a more organised level, sort of inviting you to functions?
Well, I don't remember any. If there were any functions, we certainly weren't invited to them. But I don't really think there were many functions going on at that time.
How about religious life? Did some of you sort of integrate into various churches?
I think some of the children in the villages did. But we certainly didn't. We were, you remember, on the sort of outskirts of Ashford, neither one thing nor the other, neither fish nor fowl, because we didn't have a church at Stubbs Cross. If we were going to church, we'd have to go into Ashford. But people that were in places like Hothbury and places around Ashford that were real villages, then if their hostess and host and hostess were involved in church activities, then they were. But we certainly weren't in our case.
Going back now to education again, do you think that educational standards suffered during this period of the war when you were evacuated?
I think they must have done. I think the teachers tried their best. But I don't think children concentrated quite so much. They were always thinking, oh, well, we're going to finish at lunchtime. And it was a different situation than what it had been at school, in our own school. I think the teachers did their best and wanted us to carry on in the same way and carry on with the same curriculum.
Was there any organised activity for the afternoons when you were free, or the mornings, you know, for the rest of the
day? No, I don't remember any at all. I think the thing was the school was full of the other school in the afternoon, so that the facilities weren't there for us to go there. And most halls and places like that were taken over by ARP or fire people, volunteers, or fire watching service. No, but there wouldn't have been any fire watches then, were they? But there's certainly ARP people.
So there was nothing done for you at all in the way of
no
sort of organised sports or
no,
nature
nothing.
Walks?
No.
You were just left
to our own devices.
Would that have applied to the 11-year-olds as well, do you think?
Yes, I think the hostess families were expected to keep an eye on them as they did their own families.
Could I ask you now about the war and Ashford? Was there any evidence of war at that time?
No.
These troops, you did say you saw the troops.
Well, that was early on.
Yes.
Later on, we did get you'd see servicemen and that sort of thing in the streets who were on leave. But certainly, there was not much evidence of war until after Easter, when the build up for, you know, them coming back from Dunkirk occurred. We knew, we heard that things weren't going too well. And, later on, I think it was, would it be in June time, there were various rumours going on of trains coming through with lots of wounded soldiers on, and we went down to the station to see if it was really true, and we did see a lot of trains coming back from Dover, and they'd come through Ashford, and WVS would be down there with tea and cigarettes and that sort of thing.
You saw the soldiers yourself, did you?
We saw the soldiers, yes. But not for a very short time, because at that time then they suddenly decided that we'd better move from Ashford. We began to see some planes and things now and again coming over, and they decided we would be safer. We had two or three air raid warnings, though nothing really much happened. In fact, we had more there than they'd ever had, they had in London, you see.
Can you remember the fall of France?
Can't actually remember the fall of France, but then that would be all tied up with these soldiers coming back from Dunkirk.
Do you think your attitude then altered towards the war when you saw these sort of tangible signs of it?
Yes, I think we began to think, well, maybe, you know, things aren't as good as we thought they would be, and that perhaps the enemy might invade. Because the teachers started then rounding us up and making note of where everybody was, so that in the event of having to move quickly, that they will be able to do so. We then realised that the threat of invasion, you know, was very real.
And I suppose it, Ashford would have been in one of these threatened zones, would
quite,
it?
Quite, yes. It was, after all, not very far from the coast. And
did you ever hear or see any signs of the activity in France from that area?
No, not really, because, no, we didn't. Only we just heard it and we saw some of the troops.
Yes, what did you hear?
Only hear people say.
Yeah, you didn't hear gunfire?
No, no, not then, yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So could you tell me now about the events leading up to your second evacuation, really? When did you first hear that you might have to go off again?
Well, I can't pinpoint the actual time, but it would be after Dunkirk, and the fact that these soldiers had come back, and we knew that they'd been, that France had fallen, and that there was threat of invasion, and so they decided that we'd have to go further away from the coast, and we were told to get our luggage all ready, and to take it to the school on a particular morning. And I remember we had quite a tearful farewell from Grandma and Granddad, because they got quite fond of us and we got quite fond of them by then. And we had to go to school, and when we got to school there were buses and things there ready to take us to the station.
Did you have a send-off, you know, from the local people?
No, not at all. I think they were too concerned with what was happening and whether their own schools were in fact going to be evacuated, which they probably were later on. But they got us away first. The evacuees that were there from London were moved before the local people.
How about your parents? Were they able to visit you before you were sent off again?
Yes, my mother came down, but I don't know whether it was because she knew we were actually going to be sent off, but because I suppose she realised there was a threat that, you know, if France had fallen, they wouldn't leave us in Ashford too long. And I remember she came down with some new dresses for me, two new dresses which just fitted.
So could you now tell me about your journey to your second evacuation destination?
Yes, now in this case we weren't split up into groups, so it would point to the fact that this was probably a corridor train. I think in the other case it was mainly because it was separate carriages and the children could fall out. In this case, I certainly travelled out with my own friends.
Did I should imagine. Did you have any idea where you were going?
None at all. But the journey was quite long, and even then I can't remember how long. It doesn't stick in my mind. I think we were so busy enjoying the train journey and probably waving to anybody we saw on the way. But then we got towards somewhere and somebody said, oh, we're going into Wales. I do remember that. And various people were talking about, oh, we'll have to bath in front of the fire, which is all we'd probably seen films like Love on the Dole and Corn is Green and whatnot. And that's what stuck in our minds. And, of course, when you're travelling on a train, you see the backs of all the little houses. Even coming into London, it's the same. And you imagine that it's all going to be dirty and grimy and horrible. But we actually landed in Llanelli, which is quite a nice, clean town. And it doesn't stick in my mind that we were toted around, as you know, in this case, our billets must have all been arranged for us, because there was not much delay between getting to the station and being taken to the billets. And I was taken to a very nice house. A Mr. and Mrs. Jackson, their name was. But he was called Uncle Jack. He was Uncle Jack to us. And they had a little maid called Effie, who... typical little maid. You'd imagine a little tweeny, you know, in the old days, and her little cap was never on straight, and she had a lovely lilting Welsh voice. And she was quite pleased. I was on my own in this case. I didn't go with anybody else. And I was billeted on my own. But I had a very nice bedroom, floral curtains, and double bed again, which was to be in the spare room, I suppose, of the house. But most of my meals were taken with the maid in the kitchen, mainly because I think my meal times didn't coincide with the family. I think they had late dinner and they did quite a lot of entertaining. He was a great rugby enthusiast and was down at the Clenethley Rugby Club quite a lot. He also had an allotment. I think he wouldn't have been the person who would have had an allotment before the war. I think he was probably patriotically digging for victory. And we had, you know, he grew prized vegetables and that sort of thing, which were very nice. And then my friend was in a small house where the wife went out of work, and she was very unhappy because she was on her own such a lot and hadn't been used to it. And she used to come and spend fair time with me. On one particular occasion, it was time for her to go back, and Uncle Jack was going to take her back in the car. He had a car, which was sort of another one-upmanship for me. And he took her back, and there was nobody there, and she burst into tears, and he said, "Oh, you'd better come back and you can sleep with Chris." So she came back, and he went back later to see her host and hostess and explained that she was rather lonely and I was rather lonely, and he thought it was rather nice if we were together. So again, we were together for a short time. And during this time, I was very glad that she was with me, because sometimes he used to say, "Now I'm going to give you a real treat tonight." And we had dinner with the family. And we got in there and the table was laid beautifully, and Effie came in with the meal. And he said, "Now this is a great treat. I've got some of my prized marrows." And neither of us could bear marrow. And it was just marrow with white sauce. And we looked at it and we thought, "Oh, well, we'll have to eat it, you know, to please him." And so we didn't dare look at each other, but we sort of gulped it down, had a drink of water and gulped it down. But we didn't like to appear too enthusiastic in case we had it too off. Anyway, we also had very nice... I remember going to his allotment and picking fruit, soft fruit, with them, blackberries and currants and red currants and things like that. They made us very welcome. The lady, Mrs. Jackson, I would think slightly older perhaps than him, and seemed a rather frail little lady. She was always very kind and very nice and placid and never got out of temper with anything, but I've been ruled by him. He was a big jovial man and he ruled the house and did everything, you know. But I wasn't there all that long because it was coming up to matriculation time now, and we went to I can't remember which school we went to, actually. We did most of our schooling in a hall. And we were told that we would take our examination in the chapel hall. So we were left to our own devices, really. We were supposed to be revising all the time. And I think they concentrated on the younger ones to get them into an actual school. And we were supposed to be revising and getting ready for our exams, which we did take in this chapel hall. And really, we might as well have not bothered to take them, because we just all seemed to sit there, look at each other, and the time was ticking on. And I remember I left a postcard, you know, when I went on holiday in the summer, to say for them to write and tell me if I'd passed. And you had to put the subjects down the postcard, and they would put ticks or crosses beside them. And when mine arrived, it was all little crosses beside each one.
So did you not get your matriculation?
No, I didn't, no. No, failed miserably.
Do you think the war accounted for that?
Oh, I think so. I think I would have passed some of the subjects in that than any other of it. Oh, I think I would have done, because my parents would have made sure that I was working, and my brother and sister had done so, had passed their matric.
And how about your other friends? How did they fare?
Exactly the same, yes. I think there were only about the real eggheads that got through their exam, that probably got through come hell or high water, you know.
But was the rest there of any chance of retaking it then?
Oh, I could have, yes, I would have gone back and taken it. I should have gone back and taken it, but I went back on holiday the summer, and I, well, really, while we were in Llanelli, during that short time, there were quite a few air raids where the planes would come over the coast, and sort of, we saw a lot more activity than they were seeing in London at that time. And so when we went on holiday, I think for the first 2 weeks I didn't think, I thought, oh, I'll go back, you know. And then I thought, why should I go back? You know, there's not much point, a whole year probably wasted again, you know, if I don't work very hard, and I shan't feel like working very hard. And so I said to my parents, could I stay? And they said, if you can find a job, you can stay at home. And I think they thought, oh, she won't find a job, or she won't like... Because really, although I sound as if I was quite confident, I wasn't. I was quite a shy person in some things. And they were convinced that I wouldn't bother to go for interviews and things. Anyway, I saw an advert for a clerical job in a mail order firm. And I went for an interview. My mother came with me, and I went for an interview, and it was in Clapham, which wasn't very far from home. And so I got the job, and I wrote and said that I wouldn't be coming back. My mother wrote to the school, and I wrote to the people I was billeted with, and decided not to go back. And of course, just after that, the activity started over London, and I came in for the Battle of Britain and the Blitz and all that sort of thing.
Yes, I'd like to ask you a bit about that. But if I could go back to Llanelli, what were the local people's attitudes towards the evacuees? You know, how were you welcomed there?
We were welcomed there much more than we had been anywhere else. They'd had more notice of our coming, I imagine. And when we got up there, there was a big banner across by the station, you know, welcome. And, we thought it was lovely, you know. I think they were more welcoming than anywhere we'd been.
How about your relations with local children? Did you have any contact there?
We didn't have a great deal because we were so, you know, it was those busy month of getting ready for our exams, and I can't remember us ever, you know, really mixing with the local children at all.
How about the population? Did, you know, there again, were you integrated at all into Welsh life?
We weren't, because we happened to be in a house that were social, you know, their social activities were different, really. They were a higher social level than we'd been used to at home, in reverse from the other ones. I should think he was in local government or something, or I don't, you know, it doesn't stick in my mind, really. We didn't have that much time to settle down.
How about Effie? Did you ever meet any of her people?
No, we didn't. I remember having a lecture by Mrs. Jackson telling us that she realised that we weren't used to having any maids and whatnot. And she said to us that Effie was a friend of the family besides being a maid, which was rather nice. And that although she was there to work, and she expected us to help her, and she didn't expect us to... She didn't want us to think that Effie was there to wait on us, in other words. And I remember giving Effie a hand with the washing up and that sort of thing. We quite enjoyed her company. She was funny. She had this different Welsh voice that we hadn't heard before. And we were quite tickled, you know. And no, we didn't really mix with anybody else there very much.
Did you find your speech altered at all in Wales? Were you there long enough?
No, not really long enough, no. I knew a bit about Wales because before the war I had an aunt and uncle who lived in Penarth, which is near Cardiff, And I had stayed up there on odd occasions. So South Wales I knew, you know, to a certain extent.
It was interesting when you mentioned this business of social class. You really were quite mismatched, weren't you, it would seem. You had homes which perhaps might have been of a lower standard to your own. Then you went into this one which was obviously higher. Do you place any importance on this sort of business of social class?
No, I don't think so. I think it was very good for us to... I think it was, in a way, it helped, you know, later on. Now, for instance, more people are more mixed, aren't they? There isn't so much class distinction as there was then. No, I think it was a good thing.
Both ways?
You know, both ways,
a,
yes.
A lower standard home...
Yes, I think so. It didn't do us any harm. I don't say I'd like to stay there for a long time if I was in, you know, as I was in Ashford, but certainly I think it did us good.
Which billet of all your billets were you most happy in, do you think?
Oh, I would say with Grandma and Grandad at Stubbs Cross, yes, definitely. We were more family and we enjoyed it.
Do you think that's the most important thing, you know, to be part of a family, to be
treated? Oh, definitely, definitely, yes. I mean, nothing worse than being one on your own or being treated differently or that sort of thing. Isn't it?